Hello and welcome to episode 715 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. I am one of the co-founders here at ETR, as always joined by fellow co-founder Evan Silva. And the NFL draft is just 48 short hours away. Almost makes you feel happy to be alive. 2 weeks ago, we did a show on draft props, episode 712. Got a lot of feedback that you guys enjoyed that, and a ton has changed since then. So we figured, let's run it back here with a draft props pod part two with, of course, the man who has grinded to a nub for the last 2 months betting this stuff, Anthony D'Amico. How's it going today?
It's going great, man. Is there anything past nub? Because that's, I think, where we might be.
Yes, you have nothing left. Evan, how's it going today?
If you have an inner. it's going great. So last night, just to kind of take my mind off football, I was watching the NBA games and betting on them, and like Denver went down by like 20, and like I was like, yo, I'm betting on Denver, and I just kept hitting them, and the ending was unbelievable. And I thought to myself, man, did Adam go to this? Because I know that you go to a bunch of Nuggets games, but you didn't go to this one, huh?
Yeah, nobody runs worse. I was at game one. It was fun, but nothing. Yeah. I mean, last night was absolutely insane.
Insane.
Was not there. Shout out to Jamal Murray.
The first game was good too.
First game was awesome too. But yeah, it's just such like the Delta. I don't want to get into this, but the bottom line is if you have the experience or the wherewithal to go to an NBA playoff game, the difference between that and the regular season is just absolutely incredible. Everybody should try to go NBA playoff game. Anyways, on today's show, we're going to run through as many draft prop markets as we can. There's some consensus out there in mocks, not necessarily in the mocks that Evan or Daigle has done for us, but there's a lot of consensus out there in mocks, which I'm not sure is correct. Hopefully you guys listened to the mock draft that we did in the previous episode. When you get off consensus, there's some long shot spots, which we'll get to here today on this show. Before we do that, first, if you're into golf at all, you know, playing DFS or just want the projections or whatever, highly recommend you check out our golf product. It is in the middle of major season right now. Really think playing DFS golf is my second favorite DFS sport behind NFL, obviously. So fun. Love our product right now. So check that out. Second, I'm expecting our friends at Underdog to launch their massive Best Ball Mania tournament by Monday. We will, of course, be ready with rankings, tiers, content, etc. Big announcement coming regarding Best Ball and ETR soon. In the meantime, if you have not signed up for Underdog yet, promo code ETR at underdogfantasy.com for a matching deposit bonus up to $100. That's promo code ETR at underdogfantasy.com. All right, let's get started here. I want to be clear once again that line shopping in NFL draft prop markets is absolutely imperative. Do not be influenced by Silva. I've taken stuff in the last week that is plus 900 on FanDuel, but plus 450 on Caesars or vice versa. We are going to use DraftKings only here today in the interest of simplicity, but please, please, please shop if you like something. All right. We have to start number two overall pick. This has turned into, and kind of like last year with the Will Levis stuff and nobody knew Texans would like CJ Stroud or what. The number two pick is wild. Once again, we saw it get to even Evan at one point between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. Now Jaden Daniels, as we're recording this Tuesday, 5:13 p.m. Eastern, Jaden Daniels all the way out to minus 400. In our mock last night, you were on the clock at number two, and you took J.J. McCarthy, who is now plus 1,100 to go second overall. So, Evan, where are you at right now in terms of betting the number two pick?
Yeah, I saw that Amico in his latest mock had J.J. McCarthy going number two. I mean, it's a scary time. If you're somebody who has been invested in J.J. McCarthy and or Drake May to be the second overall pick, because here's a list of big-time reporters who have said publicly and fairly adamantly, most of them, that they believe that the number two overall pick is going to be Jaden Daniels. It's Adam Schefter, Peter Schrager, Diana Russini, Ben Standig, Todd McShay, not a reporter, but you know a draft analyst, Daniel Jeremiah. I mean, you know, we talked about one seeds on the last prop show, and there's a bunch of one seeds in that group. But the Levis thing gives me hope, you know, from last year. And the odds are still not that strong for Jaden Daniels. I mean, if we knew, if people were out there knowing that it was going to be Jaden Daniels, it'd be like minus 1,000.
at least.
Right. And it's still only minus 400. I do agree that Jaden Daniels seems to be the favorite right now, but you know, we still got some time left. What do you think, Amico?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like my opinion hasn't changed that much since the last time we did the show, and the odds have changed dramatically. Like, that Adam Peters is from the Niners. Like, this guy is supposed to be like a lockbox. It wouldn't surprise me if like only him and like two other people in that organization knew who they were picking. So like, how can we be so confident that it's Jaden Daniels? Like, I feel like the consensus around this has kind of formed from a wider league consensus that Daniels is the second best quarterback. But like, you know, would a guy who's 21 years old coming off a national championship and is like, you know, a proven winner TM, like it wouldn't shock me if McCarthy was the pick. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if May was the pick either, but like McCarthy at 11-1, I feel like, I mean, he's got to be better chance than that to go second.
Okay. So agreed that it's a better chance. I think that it actually gives me hope. What Evan said, all these reporters that Evan listed are saying it's likely to be Jaden Daniels, and it's still only minus 400, right? So that actually gives me hope that the JJ McCarthy and Drake May stuff is live. I actually don't think, though, that 11-1 is obviously fine to bet it. The way that I have been betting this stuff with the JJ is long shot. So on FanDuel, they have odds to get the top five picks in the correct order. If you put JJ in the number two spot and go something like Caleb Williams, JJ McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then Marvin Harrison, that's 70-1. If you do the same thing, Caleb, JJ, but then Drake May third, Jaden Daniels fourth, and then Harrison fifth, that's 80-1. And look, like, I'm not saying that those are likely to hit. It's obviously, there's a reason it's 70-80-1. But if the long shot thing happens in McCarthy, yeah, 11-1 is great. I think getting on some of these exactas and Quinellas or whatever they're called makes a lot of sense there. So yeah, Amico, how are you thinking about betting now this number two spot? Obviously 11-1 is fine. Any other takes on betting the tries, exactas, anything like that?
No, I like what you said. I mean, like, if we could put our GPP bro hats on, like, you're really just taking the chalk and shuffling it around. You know, like, I think that most people expect the top five picks to be the four quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison. So just by putting JJ two, you're not really changing that much from the consensus, but you're getting way, way, way better payout. So I definitely like that as a play.
All right. Drake May, you can still get a +330 on DraftKings. Evan, do you think that Drake May is in play at all here? Or do you think that it's Daniels or McCarthy? And then what do you think about betting the number three pick, number four pick, et cetera, et cetera?
I think that Drake May, I think that there have been indications that like Drake May, even if let's say the Commanders don't take Drake May at two, or they don't take Jaden Daniels at number two, I still think that Drake May is not going to be that pick at number two. The indications have been that they're just not necessarily as high on Drake May as other teams, coming from the Washington beats, including John Keim. So I think actually maybe JJ McCarthy is even likelier than Drake May at this point to be the number two pick. I think Drake May is going number three to New England. I think the Giants would love to get Drake May. He's got some similarities to Josh Allen, the Brian Daboll connection. But I think he's going number three to New England.
So Ronan had a report today that the Giants are looking to trade up, and the guy that they want is Drake May, but Drake May remains minus 300 to go third overall, the pick that New England owns right now. The number four pick, though, Evan, is where you start to get some long shots. So obviously this is the Cardinals pick, but there are plenty of trades that could happen. You can get Drake May plus 850 to go fourth. You can get Jaden Daniels plus 1,700 to go fourth. The current favorite is Marvin Harrison, minus 225. JJ McCarthy is down at plus 180. So if you think May or Daniels slips to number four, you can get real good prices there. Evan, any thoughts on the number four overall pick?
I'm thinking that it's either going to be Marvin Harrison. Well, shoot, I'm just going to name the favorites. Marvin Harrison or JJ McCarthy. I don't know. You know, I think the most likely exacta right now would be like the top five exacta would be Caleb, Jaden at two, Drake May at three, someone comes up for JJ McCarthy at 4, Marvin Harrison to the Chargers at 5. I wonder, I haven't looked at that exacta, but that seems like maybe the that would be the favorite if we were just going to bet on the top 5 picks.
Sure, and that's one of the favorites with the last two swapped, I think might be the clean favorite. And Mika, what do you think about the number 4 overall pick right now, where we have Marvin Harrison as a pretty big favorite?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the May Daniels stuff here, just because I think that if those players are available, like the chances that they're available obviously are not super high, but if they are available, I think we can say with a much higher degree of certainty that they'll be the pick. Like McCarthy to me is not that good, because like I could see him being on the board at 4 and the trade package is not being good enough. But the way that people are talking about May and Daniels, like, if they're there at 4, like they are being taken at 4. Like someone is trading up and taking those guys at 4. So I actually think, obviously, Daniels is the longest, so you could argue he's the best bet. But, you know, I think either of those guys makes some sense there.
Okay. The other way you can play this McCarthy stuff is if I can get to here draft position, JJ McCarthy under 5.5 minus 150. If you are convinced that JJ McCarthy is going to be among the first 5 picks, that doesn't seem like a lot of wood for me to lay minus 150. Amika, what do you think about the JJ under 5.5 minus 150 stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all over this one. I think that this is a smash. Yep. I mean,
I think it's a bet too. I'm in.
Like, I just feel like there's a chance he goes second or third. Like, it's not like he's dead in those spots. And if he doesn't, there's so many quarterback hungry teams. Like, obviously Minnesota's loaded on ammo, but like, you know, Denver, the Giants, the Raiders, like, there's plenty of teams that would move up, I feel like. And both the Cardinals and Chargers have basically put out there that they are open for business.
Right. So JJ McCarthy under 5.5 minus 150. I'm not sure that's the best price out there, but I do think that's interesting. There was also a special on FanDuel today. Will the first 4 picks all be quarterbacks? Yes, was plus 230. That got bet pretty quick down to plus 170, plus 160. But I thought that was an interesting one also. You know, anytime they put up a new market, it's like getting there first is a huge edge. And obviously that one got bet immediately. Okay. I want to go back to the pick numbers here, just because I'm fascinated by both the 9th and the 10th spot. So Evan, one that I bet, and I think you had some information here, or at least some speculation, was Byron Murphy to go 9th. That line has tanked some. I think I got 13-1 or 15-1. It's now 6-1. Obviously, the Bears hold the number 9 overall pick. But Evan, what do you think about this spot here where Byron Murphy is now down to 6-1 odds on who will be the number 9 overall pick? The favorite is Roma Dunze at plus 140.
I think it's okay. You can bet him to just go top 10, number one. You can also bet him to be the first defensive player selected. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bet all 3 of them, but you know, I mean, you know.
Yeah. So I think it's 6-1. The Byron Murphy one is starting to get too short for me, Amico. But what do you make of the Byron Murphy steam? And I'll pull up the odds here for odds to be first defender off the board.
I mean, I think the steam is legit in the sense that, like, he's a player that's rising up the board. I'm not positive I see the fit for Atlanta. I'm not positive I see the fit for Chicago. I mean, like, I guess they could do it, but I just feel like Chicago has a way bigger need at edge. And they'll be able to take a guy at that range. And obviously as a receiver, if there's a receiver there, they'll take him too. The way that I would prefer to play 9 is like, what if there's a small trade up here and all of a sudden the Bears flip, like, you know, one of their free picks that they have left and they move up 2 spots with the Titans so that they can get Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers, you know, whoever the third receiver is. Well, Joe Alt to be the 9th pick is 17-1. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to play that. Like, I feel like that's very reasonable, small trade up. The Titans are very commonly mocked to take Joe Alt. I mean, that's like a favorite to be the 7th pick, minus 160. But if he goes 9th, he's 17-1. So that's how I prefer. I feel like trying to, and there's a lot of chatter about there being a lot of trades in this draft. So I feel like trying to predict some of those trades and seeing, you know, what you can get from that. That's the way to put it.
The numbers that I have written down with me right now are from last night, and things can change within the course of 20 hours for sure. But another one that I like here regarding Byron Murphy is under 14.5 draft slot. And it's minus 150, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah. And I think the Byron Murphy's team is legit also. In terms of finding long shots, I think what Amico said is important. The best way to find long shots this late in the process is by anticipating trades. And if you think that Chicago and Titans swap picks, Joe Alt to go ninth certainly makes a ton of sense. Just wanted to talk about one more Byron Murphy thing here before we move back to the number 10 pick. First defensive player selected. So this was Dallas Turner was like heavy chalk. And I thought one of the best spots of the draft was just fading that Dallas Turner stuff. Now it has come down a ton. Now it's Dallas Turner is still the favorite at plus 115. Latu plus 225, 300 versus plus 650. I do think one of those four will be the first defensive player selected. But yeah, I mean, I took some Byron Murphy. I mentioned on the mock plus 750. That was just like yesterday. And now it's down to 3-1. So I think Amico, probably the value has been all sucked out of this market, but any plays left for you and odds to be the first defensive player selected, or they also have odds to be the first edge player selected.
Yeah, I'm kind of out on this. Like you said, like I think the value has been really sucked out. Like these one-way markets, like they just jack the hold up and there's not a lot of value.
Yeah. Okay.
I do feel like Quinyon Mitchell at 13-1 first defensive player selected is not insane. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to go early.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, verse Murphy, Latu, and Turner are all significantly ahead of Mitchell, but yeah, 13-1 might not be quite long enough for me, but I do think it's interesting. It's definitely in play for sure. Okay. The other one with Alt slipping Amico, and honestly, like one of the things that happened in our mock, if you guys listened, was Ben Standing was on the clock and he was like, listen, I don't know if the Titans think Joe Alt is that much better than the other tackles that are going to go in the top 20 here. And if they're not, maybe we can risk trading back. Maybe we can risk waiting on Joe Alt, or maybe we'll just pass on Joe Alt and we'll target one of these other tackles. You can get 20-1 on Joe Alt to be the 10th overall pick. The Jets hold the 10th overall pick. They have Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses at tackle. Neither of those guys are favorites to stay healthy through the whole season. So 20-1 on Joe Alt at 10th overall. I know you put this one into the mix here, Amico. Any more thoughts on what the Jets are going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple ways this wins. I mean, obviously a trade up again, similar to like we said at 9, but like, what if we get four quarterbacks, we get the two receivers, and then the Titans are like, you know what, we're taking a receiver. You know, we'll get a tackle. Well, Brian Callahan's seen this before. You know, we'll take a tackle in round two. We'll take the receiver now. Well, now where's the next tackle team? I mean, Atlanta's not taking one. Chicago, I don't think, is going to take one. So you could see Joe Alt fall all the way to 10 on his own, and I am pretty sure he's not going to make it past the Jets because they are looking for some insurance, I think, on Tyron Smith and any other guys they've invested in. So I think that 20-1 is too long.
Right. And my take is that everybody, what the consensus, every mock you see, Brock Bowers to the Jets, Brock Bowers to the Jets, Brock Bowers to the Jets, every single time. And like, it might be, it's possible. I agree. It makes sense, but it's far from a slam dunk. And so if when I'm looking for long shots, these spots here, 8, 9, 10, I think are super interesting. Evan, I know you took Brock Bowers for the Jets last night, but from a betting perspective, any thoughts here on the number 10?
Yeah, I also think that Bowers could go 9 to the Bears. So possible that he's not even necessarily available to the Jets, especially if the wide receivers go and Ryan Pace is just kind of locked in on, let's add a pass catcher, you know, let's fortify this pass catching unit for our rookie quarterback. I think Brock Bowers should be in play at number 9, and then he wouldn't even be available to the Jets.
Okay. Let's get to some player over unders here. You know, you're not going to get long shots on this stuff, but I do think that there is significant edge and maybe still some stuff out there if you like it. First one is A.D. Mitchell. Under 27.5 is now plus 150. Evan, any thoughts on where you think A.D. Mitchell goes in this line?
Yeah, I love the under 27.5 here. It might be my favorite bet right now. You're getting plus 150. And if you look at this wide receiver situation, it starts at 15. Okay, the Colts could take a wide receiver at 15. The Jaguars at 17, they need a wide receiver. The Bengals at 18, they need a wide receiver. I think the Rams could take a wide receiver at 19. The Steelers could take a receiver at 20. The Dolphins, I don't think that they would take A.D. Mitchell, but they definitely need another weapon. And then the Cowboys. So they're at 24. So in that range of 15 to 24, there are a ton of teams that could go wide out. And I think that with Brian Thomas slipping a little bit, and Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell are kind of like, you know, in terms of tactically, they're similar players. They're going to play on the perimeter. I think that that might move up A.D. Mitchell. I'm going to end up mocking him, I think, 18 to the Bengals. And so that would clear under 27.5 pretty easily. I'm surprised that this is so – you're a big fan of A.D. Mitchell, aren't you, Amico?
Yeah, I mean, I think he has a nice ceiling. I think that the reason that this has been kind of steamed over was, like, you know, there was like the McGinn stuff with the diabetes and the character stuff. I just feel like I'm cool to fade a bunch of that. I mean, like, I don't know if I'm jamming this under because of that stuff, but, like, I don't know. Like, I think at the end of the day, the NFL is just going to take the guys who are good. And if they think that A.D. Mitchell is good, they'll get him on like a nutrition plan and they'll send someone with them. Like, they'll figure all that other stuff out. Yeah,
Mark Andrews has diabetes too, and he's had a pretty nice career. Schefter was on the ETR pod and was talking up A.D. Mitchell being someone who's going to be drafted earlier than expected.
Yeah, and when Schefter said that, I had bet that, and, you know, it was I bet it at a worse number than it is now. I mean, it's better now. I wish I had waited. You know, it's the A.D. Mitchell under is better now. I think one of the reasons that this 27.5 on DraftKings is getting steamed is because the Bills, obviously, the wide receiver, they're 28, and the Chiefs are commonly mocked a wide receiver, and they are 32. What about Bo Nix under 32.5 plus 190? I know this is one that we talked about last time. It's plus 180 now, actually, though. Evan, sounds like you still think that Bo Nix has at least a chance to go in the first round. Obviously, you're getting plus 180 here, so you don't need a true 50-50 flip.
I think he's going to go in the first round, or at least I think it's a 50-50 situation, and we're getting the under at plus 180. So to me, that's a bet because I think it should be, you know, minus 110. So I would take that. Tom Pelissero came out and said he thinks six quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. It's just I can't remember the league ever being this quarterback needy. I know that Amico has been skeptical. Because it is true that we often overrate some of the, you know, maybe mediocre talented quarterbacks in terms of their draft slot. You know, I also could see Bo Nix like falling into the late second round, honestly. But I think that it's still a 50-50 proposition with all the quarterback needy teams. And I mean, this guy put up big time numbers in college.
I mean, this is Amico's worst nightmare. Michael Penix is down to under 32.5. In other words, a first round pick, minus 275 now for Michael Penix.
I think that that's bettable still.
I can't believe
like
it.
That is happening.
Dude, I mean, I think that's a crazy pills. Like, this guy's 24 years old. He's got four season ending injuries. He freaking looked awful against Michigan. And you're telling me that like the report is like, oh, he's the best kept secret. He was like a Heisman candidate. He was in the freaking college football final. Like, what are we talking about? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I just don't buy it. Like, if I didn't already have so much Penix over at just dog shit prices, like, I would be taking this. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I just.
Apparently teams love him though.
Dude, they love Davis Mills, and they loved, you know, Will Levis, and they love all these guys. They love them all. They love them all until it's time to fucking take him.
Right. Will Levis went 33rd overall, so, I mean, he just missed.
But I think my thing is that, like, if you don't believe that he's good enough, this goes for both of these guys, if you don't believe that they're good enough to be in the top 15, which I think for the most part most people don't, it becomes really difficult to trade into the last part of the first round for these guys. We saw that last year with Will Levis. Because the Titans talked about how they tried to get up and no one would trade with them. And this is a class that is also going to have a lot of tackles going towards the end of the first round and teams trying to trade up for that position also. So I just think it's going to be really difficult, like all kidding aside, I just think it becomes very difficult to actually get in and make that move unless you're willing to massively overpay. And is someone going to overpay for these guys? I don't really know.
Yeah. So my take is I would not lay minus 275 on this, like, ever, you know, but I don't know if I'm betting over either because there's so much smoke around teams liking Michael Penix and him going in the first round. It's probably just a pass for me, but yeah, line has gotten crazy on Michael Penix for sure. A couple other over-unders. Talese Fuaga, I'm sure I butchered that, Evan, over you like 13.5 at +135. That line is still out there. Talk to the people about where you think Fuaga ends up going.
Yeah, and then I went on Ross Tucker this morning, and he was like, no, man, he's going earlier than that. And I mean, Ross talks to a lot of people that know things. But my thinking on this is that teams think he's a guard. The majority of teams think that he's a guard, and therefore he could slip a little bit, and they're going to go with, you know, Olu Fashanu over him. When I bet it at at +145 over 13.5 draft slot. I feel okay about it. I still feel all right about it, but it's not my favorite at this point.
Okay, what about Amico? This Dallas, we talked about the Dallas Turner steam over 9.5 now on Dallas Turner as his stock continues to crater. That's out to -160 now. Do you still think that's bettable as Dallas Turner's stock continues to slip here? Again, over 9.5 on Dallas Turner is -160.
Yeah, I do, because I just think it's going to take a trade up for him to crack the top 9. You know, all the reports out of Atlanta are that they love Latu. The Bears supposedly like Jared Verse. So I don't know, like, kind of, again, where's the team? And this is, as we've talked about, I think, ad nauseum, and has been talked about around the space, like, it's just not a good defensive group. So the first defensive player, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if there was no defensive players taken in the top 9, let alone that Dallas Turner is that defensive player.
Yep.
Kingsley Suamatia, can we skip ahead to him?
Go ahead.
Well, as of last night, he was first round +150, just to go in the first round.
Yeah.
Where's he at right now? Because I like that.
+170.
Okay, so even better. Even better. I mean, he's got all the traits. He's got the size, the arm length, you know, 2 solid years of tape, played right tackle and left tackle.
Yeah.
At BYU.
Yeah, that's one of the guys that Amico's talking about. End of back end of round 1, teams either trading or taking trading for or taking tackles at the end of round 1 there. I think Kingsley is a real chance. That line's come down some too, Amico. I think it was like +350 not that long ago.
Yeah, Tom Pelissero put out his yearly article on guys who might slip or who might be taken at the end of round 1. I think last year he went like 4 for 6. Like, the dude just kills this, and Kingsley was on that list. So definitely think that that's playable.
Okay. A couple more over-unders I just wanted to get to real quick here. We talked about Joe Alt, but you can still get over 7.5 on Joe Alt at +280. I mean, you don't have to be right that often. Joe Alt going 8th or later. We already talked about the reasons why. And then also J.C. Latham under 14.5, Amico, is down to -165. What do you think about those two offensive linemen over-unders?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Alt over just because, you know, again, if you're looking at quarterbacks and receivers, like, there's 7 guys right there. So if the Titans either trade out or don't want a lineman or want a lineman, but that lineman's not Joe Alt, you know, you're there. So there's kind of a lot of ways to hit the Alt over. Again, like, I wouldn't play it any lower than like +200 or +225, but like, at this price, I think you're getting a very good value. And Latham has been, I feel like there's been a lot of chatter about Latham. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah today was talking about how he might mock Latham to go 5th in his final mock to the Chargers. Yep. So I think that he probably has a few more fans than maybe I initially thought when we started this. And again, like, teams that could take him would be the Chargers, the Titans, the Jets, the Saints, the Raiders. There's just a lot of outs in under 14.5.
Yeah. To back up your point, I think that Latham under 14.5, even at -165, I think it's totally fine. And it's nice that you're kind of landing on that 14, which is the Saints. And the Saints are like, they're going offensive tackle. And I talked to Underhill, and he said, absolutely, Latham is a potential for the Saints. And, I mean, the Jets could take him. You know, the Titans could take him. He actually fits historically the Titans profile. I mean, I think he's definitely going under 14.5.
last over under I wanted to talk about was the Roma Dunze one, Amico. 8.5 under is -150 here. And a lot of the mocks, like Dunze ends up ninth, which is why I'm a little surprised that under 8.5 is -150. But yeah, what do you think about the Dunze over under right now?
Yeah, I mean, I like the under. Like, I just think Adunze is a consensus top six player in this class. There's a chance that he comes off the board as early as six to the Giants. Like, I mean, Evan mocked him, I think, at five today. Like, there, if he, like, him being the second receiver, I think is like choose your flavor with Neighbors. So, like, I could definitely see a team preferring him there. And then I just, Atlanta is another one of these teams that just really wants to move down. So I just, again, if we're kind of forecasting the trade aspect of this, like, I think a team is probably going to trade into that eight spot, take whatever receivers left.
Because they know that the Bears are taking him at nine. If
right.
Yeah, I think he could go five, six. I mean, Diana Rossini was saying that the Titans might take a wide receiver at seven. I think he's a longer shot, but a possibility to go eight, maybe to the Falcons. Daigle has talked about that. And then the trade up aspect as well. So yeah, I think the under makes sense here for Roma Dunze.
Yeah, I forget where I saw it, but I saw like someone who I thought was pretty credible who had a report that many teams, and he mentioned like three or four specific coaches that actually had Neighbors ahead of Harrison. So, you know, I actually think that the NFL might see Neighbors closer to Harrison than Adunze to Neighbors, but, you know, we'll certainly see. Okay. Let's get back to the odds to be the first. Odds to be the first running back off the board. We talked about some last time. This is now Jonathan Brooks -150. You know, without the ACL, he'd be like -400, I think, in this class. We talked about the Blake Corum stuff last time, but yeah, Evan, any updated thoughts on odds to be the first running back selected?
With it down point to 4-1, I'm kind of out on the Blake Corum. I was taking it 9-1 and 7.5-1. Yeah. I think that Benson is playable. Trey Benson. He's got like a feature back profile at 3-1. I mean, you know, you're not getting the greatest odds, but I don't think it's bad by any means. I put a little bet on Will Shipley, but then I didn't realize that his fumble rate, this dude fumbled like every 40th touch in college, but whatever, it's 50-1. And I like Marshawn Lloyd a lot as a guy who ran 4.46 at 220 pounds.
Yeah, that's Jeremiah's top running back, so I feel like 9-1.
Shit, let's bet on that.
All right, one that I actually took today, a couple sites have who will be the second tight end selected. And this has been all over the place. Everybody thought it was going to be Jatavion Sanders. Then this Ben Sinnott guy got a ton of steam. And I do think he's interesting for best ball slash DFS. But the guy that has been forgotten is, shout out Penn State, Theo Johnson, who broke the combine and then everybody forgot about him. There was a report today that Theo Johnson is actually the second tight end behind Brock Bowers, of course, on many people's board. This is 7-1 on DraftKings now for Theo Johnson. Amico, am I taking crazy pills here, to use your phrase? Why would Theo Johnson be all the way down at 7-1?
Yeah, I mean, I just think Sino and Sanders opened as the favorites, and we haven't seen a lot of movement on this market. The Charles Robinson piece I thought was very compelling. It's just, you know, very quickly, like, oh, you know, many teams have Theo Johnson tight end too. I mean, we're talking about probably the third round. So yeah, we're getting a good price
there. His combine workout was absolutely insane.
Of course, he went to Penn State. But and also, while Sinnott and Theo Johnson have been getting good buzz, I mean, I feel like Jatavion Sanders is slipping, you know, at least in the minds of a lot of people also. So, yeah, I really like that one. Theo Johnson 7-1 to be the second tight end off the board.
4.57 with a 40-inch vertical at the combine. Yeah. At 6'6", 260. Actually, Dane Brugler and Robert Mays and Nate Tice had an interesting conversation about Theo Johnson, and they talked about what we often talk about when we talk about why are these Penn State dudes such incredible athletes and they don't really produce. And their explanation was pretty much the same as ours. They're not coached up, and they are haven't had a good quarterback play in forever. Actually, did you see some of the highlights of the the quarterback that they have now during the Penn State spring game.
Yeah, Drew Aller did not inspire confidence.
Horrible. Horrible. So it's going to be more of that.
Okay. I do think a good place to look late in the process is these team specials. So almost every site has position of first player drafted by team. I wanted to highlight the Chiefs one. I took on FanDuel Chiefs to take a cornerback first at plus 850. This is plus 400 on DraftKings. This is what I'm talking about shopping, though, because there's so much surface area to cover here. Every single team, every single position. You know, like we've talked about, Ladarius Snead is gone. I don't know how long Rashee Rice's suspension is going to be. Wide receiver is the favorite at minus 105. I think it should be the favorite. Offensive lineman is next at plus 140. But plus 850 on cornerback, I mean, I would probably bet that down to 6-1 or so on cornerback first for the Chiefs. Evan, I know you like that one. Also, any other thoughts on what the Chiefs do here with their first pick in the first round?
You know, they're at the very back end of the round, so it's not easy to try to project anything. I think that the O-line is worth a sprinkle and cornerback is worth a sprinkle. And I'm going to pass on the wide receiver, even though I understand that that's, you know, technically the on-paper favorite.
Definitely. Okay. Amico, Bengals first pick. I know Evan has an opinion here, too. I wanted to get your take on Bengals first pick. You know, a lot of people thought they're taking offense. Them take offense is a pretty big favorite. I'm not sure that that's a lock, per se. Offensive line right now is minus 185 for Bengals to use their first pick on an offensive lineman. Any thoughts on this one, Amico?
Yeah, I mean, it came out earlier in the cycle that, like, Joe Goodberry was like, oh, they're going offensive line, put it in blood. he's kind of walked that back a little bit. I think that both corner and receiver are kind of in play here. Corner, I think, just fits, like, the draft range that they're in and a couple other needs in the team. And then, like, obviously receiver, like, if this T. Higgins thing is a one-year, one-and-done type deal and he's out next year, you know, they're going to need another guy. So yeah. The Bengals are usually a team that tends to plan a year in advance in the draft. Like they're planning for the 2025 needs in the 2024 draft. So I can see both of those positions being in play.
I mean, I think T. Higgins is gone. I don't see how they can afford under the cap to have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase at astronomical contracts and then also give T. Higgins 50, $60 million guaranteed or whatever. So yeah, Evan, the Bengals will be on the clock at 18 overall. Thoughts on their market here, who they'll take first?
I think that wide receiver at plus 600 is worth a sprinkle. And I think that that's just what I do here. I mean, you know, they don't have Tyler Boyd anymore either. Their tight end group isn't very good. I mean, Tanner Hudson's good, but, you know, he's not a starter. And T. Higgins is, I mean, you know, even in a best case scenario, he stays and then leaves after this season. So,
yeah,
I think I have A.D. Mitchell in my final mock draft going to the Bengals at 18.
Last team I wanted to talk about was the Falcons. So this one's interesting, I think, because everybody just assumes that it's going to be an edge rusher, a pass rusher, a defensive lineman. That's out to minus 215. That makes sense, but I'm not necessarily convinced. I guess, Amico, though, my question is, if I wanted to bet wide receiver here, you know, wide receiver is 8-1 for the Falcons. I don't think it's crazy for them to take wide receiver here, but maybe I'm better off just taking Adunze or Neighbors to go in the eighth spot. I don't think they'll get there, but yeah, what do you think about Falcons first pick market here?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think that the defensive line edge number is right. Like I truly don't see them taking a receiver. I definitely get that they could from like a need perspective, but like they did sign Mooney and they have two other guys already in house. Like I feel like if it wasn't going to be D line, it would be corner. And I think at some places that might still be like 3-1. And if you can get that, I would take that. I don't know if I'd lay less than 2-1 or play less than 2-1 on that, but okay, that would be the position I would go to. I mean, I think that this is more or less correct.
Yeah. And just to wrap that up, the odds to be the number 8 pick right now, the favorite is Latu at plus 170, Dallas Turner plus 175. If you are willing to take the leap for Adunze, that's plus 650. Neighbors, if he slips, which I think is unlikely, but if he slips, plus 1500, those would be either trade up, but I don't think it's crazy for them to take one either. I mean, signing Darnell Mooney would not prevent me from drafting Roma Dunze if he's there. You know what I mean? Like, that would be ridiculous. Yeah,
I don't know why Latu has hopped Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner is like hyper productive in the SEC, super young, bendy, you know, and then Latu is like, he like retired from football at one point. He has a laundry list of injuries. I understand that there are people on, you know, on that maybe the Falcons have Latu higher on their board than Dallas Turner. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Number 9 overall pick, by the way, Latu is 13-1, Dallas Turner 750. So, I mean, there's like, you know, this is all team-based stuff that is assuming there won't be trades. And that's kind of my point. If you think about trades, all this stuff is going to be out the window. Okay. Last one I wanted to talk about was odds to go in the first round. We already talked about Kingsley. I'm not going to attempt to. Actually, I will attempt to say his name because I wrote it down. I'm going to get this right. Kingsley Suamataia, we already talked about. There is Keon Coleman at plus 425. Now, people have not been talking about Keon Coleman among the first round wide receivers. I'm saying, oh, maybe McConkey gets in there. Maybe Xavier Worthy gets in there. I've heard people say Troy Franklin. I've heard people say Jalen Polk. I have not heard a lot of Keon Coleman round one buzz, Amico, but you wanted to talk about this one here. Where do you think the steam on Keon Coleman round one's coming from?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm just going to go back to the Pelissero piece. Like, I feel like Coleman has always been kind of on that fringe. Like, when the cycle started, he was a guy that was, you know, he was the Chiefs pick, or he was, you know, the Ravens pick or whatever. And he's just, like, not a sexy player. So I feel like there hasn't been much to talk about. Like, he doesn't run the 4-2, like, Worthy and all that stuff. But, you know, Pelissero said teams like him. And if he's saying that, I'm buying. Like, all the guys in that piece, Coleman, Suamataia, Junior Colson. I can't remember who the last guy was.
Yeah, Junior Colson is plus 650. I hadn't even heard his name. Like
I'm just betting them all. Like, if they're in that piece, I'm betting them because this guy's hit rate has been really good. And, Xavier Leggett was the other one. He's plus 150. That's not really as nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely hit Colson also at plus 650. You know,
this is just to go first round.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely. All right.
He's like plus 180 to be the first linebacker. So
you know who could really use a linebacker is the Cowboys at 27. No, they're 24.
They're picking 24. Yeah. They could use like every position. I mean, my God,
it's wild. How? Yeah. I mean, they had the best roster in the league like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. Actually, let me pull up while we're here the Cowboys odds. I haven't even looked at this. I'm actually curious. Dallas is minus 215. Wow. My position of first player in the 2024 draft, Dallas offensive line minus 215, linebacker plus 340, wide receiver 6-1, D-line edge plus 950. I did not expect to see minus 215 on offensive line, but I guess it makes sense there. Any thoughts, Amico, on Cowboys first pick here, market?
No, I mean, I think we got linebacker at open at like 20-1. Like, I couldn't in good conscience, you know, recommend plus 340.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Always so much to talk about with draft props. This will be our final draft prop show of the draft prop season. Hope you guys enjoyed this, got some value out of it. It's just fun to talk through the draft through this betting angle, in my opinion. Be sure you are following Mr. Amico at Amicsta, Amicsta, working on our dynasty ranks along with the rest of the dynasty team. And the rookie draft rankings are up and updated as well. Obviously, will be significant changes to our rookie draft rankings once we get the landing spots come Thursday night. Evan's second mock draft is up. His final mock draft will be up Wednesday evening, I believe. Is that correct, Evan?
Wednesday, like at the last minute, like 11 p.m.
Wednesday at the last minute for Evan's final mock, which he'll be submitting to the very prestigious mock draft contest, which I know everyone is waiting with bated breath to see who wins. And we'll be back on Friday on YouTube for a live show reacting to round one and looking ahead to round two with some bets. And these sites are getting really out of line, man. They're putting round two props out there, man. So we'll be in there. Not as big as edge as round one, but we'll be in there looking for stuff. So check in midday. Don't have an exact time yet. Midday Friday on YouTube. For Evan, for Silva, for producer Luke, for producer Ryan, I am Adam. Good luck Thursday night at the draft.